Amud Beis.
Sorry, it's Sadi Dalai Beis. 94B. And the Gemara is going through the Mishnah that we had in the end of Hasochar Sapoalim, where the Mishnah listed that there are four types of watchmen: the unpaid watchmen, the paid watchmen, the borrower, and the renter. And the Gemara is talking about the sources for the laws. So what we learned at the very end of yesterday was the fact that the Gemara said, how do you know that an unpaid watchman is the one who is exempt in the case of theft and loss, and the paid watchman is the one who has to pay? So, well, of course, if he's a paid watchman, he gets treated harsher. He has to pay. Well, maybe the other way. Maybe he's being treated harsher if he's exempt for theft and loss, because then there's the option of ending up paying double. If he swears that there was stolen, it turns out it wasn't stolen, he'll have to pay up double. So Gemara says, no, better to have to pay in every situation, regardless of the claim and regardless of the oath, than to sometimes pay double. So we'll start at that point, at the top here of the white line. Teida, what's the proof? A borrower who gets all the benefits, certainly that's the most responsible. And yet, Enu Mishalim, Ella, Karen, when there's a theft, he just pays the principal. Asks the Gemara on that line, Hashoel Kalana Shalo, is it true that a borrower has all the benefits? By Mizoni, he has to give food to the item that he borrowed, to Kaim Vagam. Sometimes all the benefits are his. If the animal is in a swamp, Iva Boy Natiri has to spend money on guards to watch the animal. The Natar Masa, if the city has a guard, and he may not have to watch the animal. Ibai same alternatively lotema kolana shalo. Don't say that a borrower has all the benefits. Elaima Rovana Shalo. He has most benefits. He doesn't have much. What does he have to do? Spend a little money on feeding it, watching it. Basically, he's got all the benefits. Ibai same alternatively, the She'elas Kalim. That line that the borrower has all the benefits, that's referring to when he borrowed utensils. Doesn't have to feed them. Doesn't have to watch them. They're in his house. He's watching his house. So then he has all the benefits. Okay. Going back to the Mishnah in Hasochar Sapoalim. No se sachar v'asocher, a person who's being paid to watch, or a renter. Nishboin ala shvura v'ala shvuya v'ala mesa. So if there was a loss through something out of their control, a broken leg, it was taken captive, it dropped dead, they just swear that the onus happened and then they're exempt. But they have to pay if there was a theft or a loss. Bishmagneva, I understand that a paid watchman has to pay if there's a theft. Because the pasuk says, Im ganov yiganev mi'imo, if it'll be stolen from him, yeshalem leva'alav, he has to pay to the owner. But how do we know that he has to pay for a loss? So the Gemara said there's a brisa that addressed that question. The Tanya the brisa said like this. Pasuk says, "Im ganov yiganev." If it'll be stolen, he has to pay. So, in le'alek nevas, maybe only stolen. Aveda minayin. How do we know that a paid watchman has to pay if the animal goes missing? Tamalomer, because the pasuk said twice, "Im ganov yiganev." If it'll be stolen, so why say twice if it'll be stolen? It's to say any type of missing. Mikol makom, to include any type of missing. So Gemara says, "Honey chalman damer." That's you could say that if you say lo. You say, lo armin and dibra Torah klashim ne'adim. If you say that when the Torah uses a second word, it's to teach you something, not just that the Torah uses the language that people use. Elamand, I'm going according to the opinion. Dibra Torah klashim ne'adim. You can't learn things from the fact that it used the second word. It's just, that's the way people speak. The Torah speaks that way too. So, Michael Amemar, now you're back to the question. What's the source that a paid watchman has to pay if the animal goes missing? Ami b'ma'a rava, they answered in the land of Israel in the West. Kal v'chomer, it's simple logic. From the laws of a paid watchman itself. You said the pasuk says in Ganovi Ganev that a paid watchman has to pay for theft. Theft is almost impossible to stop. It's close to an onus. So Aveda, so when he allowed the animal to go missing, Krovalipshia, which is close to negligence, Lokol Shekain certainly should have to pay. Now the one who didn't say a Kal Vachomer, who said it from the pasuk Ganovi Ganev, the extra word Yiganev, he'll tell you, sometimes you have something which logic can figure out, and the Torah writes it out anyway. Okay, going back to the Mishnah, in Hasochar Sapoalim, going through all the different laws of the different watchmen. The Mishnah said, Hashoel, the borrower, Mishalim Esakol, he has to pay everything, even ones, even, namely, the animal breaking its leg, the animal being taken captive, or the animal dropping dead. All right, Bishma Shvuro Mesa. I can understand that he has to pay if the animal breaks its leg or it drops dead. The Chassid, because the Pasuk said, V'chi yishal ish mi'im re'eyu v'nish baro meis. If a man will borrow from his friend, and it will break or it dies. Ela shvuya b'shol minon. How do we know that if the animal is taken captive, the borrower needs to pay? V'chi ten, if you're going to tell me, ne'elif mishvuro mesa, just derive it. The Torah gave examples. If the animal broke its leg or it died, he has to pay. So he has to pay if it was taken captive too. Maybe not. Malish vuro mesesh king unsur de selika daituhu. If the animal breaks its leg or it dies. He was thinking about that. You know, when he borrowed it, he knew it might break its leg or die. So if he didn't want to be responsible for that, he should have said, I'm borrowing it on condition I'm not responsible for the fact that it will die if it dies. The fact that he didn't say that is basically saying, I am responsible if it dies. But something being taken captive, he doesn't think there's going to be a war here. He doesn't think anything will be taken captive. But the idea of it being taken captive is something out of his control. He doesn't think it's going to happen. So if he never thought it was going to happen, the fact that he didn't make a condition saying explicitly, I'm not responsible for it, is not a sign that he's saying, I am responsible for it. He just didn't think it was going to happen. So you can't derive captivity from a broken leg. So the source is like this. Namra Shvuro Mesa Beshoa. In the third section in Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah talks about a borrower. And it said about a borrower that he has to pay if it broke its leg or it dropped dead. The Namra Shvuro Mesa Beshoa Sachar. Whereas in section number two in Parshas Mishpatim, where the Torah talks about a paid watchman who doesn't have to pay, it talks about both a broken leg or a dropping dead where it doesn't have to pay. So Mala Halan Shvuya Ima. So just like in regards to the unpaid, to the paid watchman, if it was taken captive, he also doesn't have to pay. Afkan, so too in regards to a borrower, if it's taken captive, it's like broken leg or dropping dead, and since broken leg and dropping dead has to pay, here too, shvuya imo, if it was taken captive, he has to pay. Where it says, that's not a great source. Ikal mifrach, I could challenge that. I can tell you like this. Malashomer sachar, a paid watchman is exempt for dropping dead or for a broken leg, and he's exempt for when it was taken captive. She can't lift her, because we're talking about him being exempt. So taken captive, which he wasn't even thinking was going to happen, certainly he's exempt. Tomer b'shoel, but you're going to say that being taken captive is similar to a broken leg or dropping dead in regards to a borrower, where we're trying to say that they're all obligated? There, the logic is the other way. Taken captive, we shouldn't obligate him, because he wasn't thinking that it was going to happen. So how could you say that? Ella Karibinasa. So back to the question, how do we know that a borrower has to pay even when the animal is taken captive? The source is Rabbi Nasan. The Tanya we learned in Hebrew, Rabbi Nasan. Omer, the Pasuk says, the verse says, V'chiyishal ish mi'im re'eu v'nishbar o meis, it'll break or die. The fact that it said the word o is to include shvuya, to include if it was taken captive. The Gemara says, what do you mean? I need the word o for the simple meaning. Hi, omi boy lelachalik. I need the word O just to say if it breaks a leg, you have to pay, or if it dies, you have to pay. We would have thought to say, that if it broke a leg, that alone you don't have to pay. You only have to pay if it broke a leg and it died. That's why they have to say O, that even just breaking a leg, the borrower needs to pay. So the Gemara explains now further in this question. This is all fine that you can say the word O to teach me that a captive animal also needs to be paid for. El Rabbi Yoshia, but according to Rabbi Yoshia, I need the word O, as we've just asked. How could you say that you're using it to teach me captive? The time went in a braisa. The pasuk says, Isha Shayu Kalel Esaviv Esimo, a man who will curse his father and his mother. Ainli El Avivimo. So I would think the only time there's an Aveir is if a man cursed both the father and mother. Aviv below Imo, Imo below Aviv Minayin. How do we know that father without mother or mother without father also is a terrible sin? Tamaloma, that's what the pasuk says, First it says, any man who curses his father and his mother will die. So it says father first. And then it says, aviv imo kilel, he cursed mother, mother next to the curse, tamavbo, he deserves his own death. So it puts father next to the word kilel and puts mother next to the word kilel. So Tamaloma, that's what the pasuk says, aviv imo kilel. I would think only father and mother. Aviv below imo, imo below aviv minayin. How do we know if he curses mother alone or father alone, he's responsible? That's what the pasuk says. Aviv imo kilel, that it puts the word kilel next to mother and it puts the word kilel next to father. Aviv Kilel, Imo Kilel, Divir Rabbi Yosha. However, Rabbi Yonah's son Omer, Mashma Shneim Ke'echad, the fact that it said, Isha Sheye Kalel Es Aviv Es Imo, implies both of them together, and it implies, Umashma Echad Bifnei Atzmo, it implies each of them separately. The only time you would say it only means together, Ad Sheyifer Lecha Kasuv Yachdav, unless the Torah says explicitly that it means both of them together. So, according to Rabbi Yonah's son, that whenever the Torah says two things, it could mean separately, unless it says explicitly that they're together. So when the Torah says that a borrower is responsible for shvura o mesa, for breaking a leg, for the animal breaking a leg or dropping dead, it could mean separately too. It's responsible for it breaking a leg, and he's responsible if it dies. So why did I have to say the word o? The word O is extra, so that's to teach me even he's responsible for when the animal is taken captive. But according to Rav Yoshia, who said that, no, if you have a verse, you assume it means together. The verse means together. Unless you have the fact that the word kilel is both by one and by the other, but otherwise you assume it's together. So then if it would have said shvura umes, I would have thought that when it breaks a leg, you don't have to pay. You only have to pay if it both breaks a leg and it drops dead. So that's why I needed the word O to tell me that the borrower has to pay even if it just broke a leg. So now I don't have a source for that the borrower is responsible if the animal was taken captive. So he answers the Gemara, Afilu Tema, Rabbi Yoshia Lechalik. So even according to Rabbi Yoshia, that you need the word O to tell me that the borrower is responsible even if it's just broken a leg. Hachalotzar, here I didn't need it for that. My time, why? Svaruhu, it's logic. If the Torah would have said that the borrower is responsible in the case of shvura ume, so without using the word oh, I would have said, mali kat lakula. What's the difference if the whole thing died? Mali kat lakula. What's the difference if half of it died? If he's responsible, if the whole thing died, I'd say he's responsible for half of it dying. So why do I need the word oh to say that even just the broken leg he has to pay? Must be it's not for that. The word O is to include the case of captivity, that if the animal is taken captive, the borrower needs to pay.
Rabbi, going back to father and mother, you're talking about, this is for biological parents?
Yes.
So if it's a stepfather, you don't have to...
Correct. It's not the same sin.
The same, okay.
So now the Gemara goes further into trying to derive the various laws that we have about the different watchmen. How do we know the laws of theft or loss? That just like a paid watchman is responsible for theft or loss, a borrower is responsible for theft or loss. If you'll say, well, derive it from the laws of borrower. Say like this, the borrower has to pay if it dropped dead. So certainly has to pay if it went missing. I'll tell you no. If it drops dead, he has to pay because now the original owner can't get it back. It's dead. But if it went missing because it was stolen or it just ran off, I could have said like this, if people are going to work hard, they're going to find the original item. So then maybe the original owner has to go work hard and find the original item. So what's the source that a borrower has to pay for theft and loss? The source is for the following b'risa. The pasuk says about a borrower, if he borrowed an item and it dropped dead or broke a leg, he has to pay as long as the owner of the item wasn't working for him. So that tells me that he has to pay if it broke a leg or it died. How do we know that he has to pay if it went missing? So say it's simple logic. Learn it not from it itself, but from Shomer Sachar, from a paid watchman. A paid watchman, if the animal drops dead, he doesn't have to pay. Doesn't have to pay. That's out of his control. And yet the Torah says, if the animal was stolen, he has to pay. So a borrower, if it drops dead, he does have to pay. So he's treated more severely than the paid watchman. So certainly he's responsible for theft or loss. And this point that we derive from a paid watchman, that's a point of logic that you cannot disprove. My anal of tshuva, why did you have to add in the braisa? It's a point of logic you cannot disprove. So the point is, you would have thought this, but it's really not. What would you have thought? V'chitem, you would have thought, you could have asked like this. Ma'ala shomer sachar, a paid watchman, perhaps, is responsible for theft and loss, because I'll tell you, he's actually stricter than the borrower. How is he stricter? Shekei Masham Tashlumei Kefel. He might end up paying double the value of the item. How? B'toein Tainas Listim Mezuyin. If he makes a false claim, claiming that there were armed robbers who stole it from him, and he swears about it, he would be exempt based at that moment because it's something which is out of his control. Then it turns out it was a lie that he had it himself. He'd have to pay double. So a paid watchman could end up paying double. Whereas a borrower, even if he claims there were armed robbers, he has to pay right away the full amount. So the paid watchman ends up paying double. Maybe he's stricter. So since he's stricter, he also is responsible in the case of Gneva Vaveda, whereas a Shoel is less strict. So a Shoel is not responsible for Gneva Vaveda, maybe. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a claim. Because Afilu Hach, as we said at the beginning, Karna de Shoel Adifa. If someone is always going to be responsible, and right away when he says a claim, he has to pay the principal, that's stricter than, oh, but if he made a certain claim and he swore, and it turns out later that he's lying, he pays double. The eventual double is not as strict as an immediate principal. So therefore, borrower is stricter than paid watchman. If paid watchman is responsible for theft or loss, borrower is stricter. So borrower is certainly responsible for theft or loss. Anybody saying, alternatively, I can tell you why it's not a question. Because the town of this price holds, listen, Mizuyan Gazlanu, that an armed robber is not considered a ganav. He's considered automatically a Gazlan. So even if he claimed armed robbery, and it turns out that it wasn't armed robbery, he won't pay double. He'll just pay principal. Because the whole idea that through a claim he'll end up paying double is if he falsely claimed gneva, and really he has it himself, then he becomes the ganav, and since the ganav pays double, he pays double. But if he claimed armed robbers, since armed robbers are gzela, there wouldn't be any payment of double.
The same goes with borrower and the watchman. If they lie, they pay double?
No. Only an unpaid watchman, because he got himself exempt with his lie. Then when he's discovered that he's a liar, then he pays double. But a borrower, he has to pay right away. So
the borrower paid just the
principal.
Just the principal.
But why do we consider that more stringent? Within his control not to lie.
Why is paying
why
the immediate?
It's more stringent because he might have to pay double if he lies. Then it's not to lie.
Yeah, but it's more stringent because there's the possibility of an added amount of a fine. Okay, but there's
that's
the possibility. Yeah, but that's still that maybe these laws are stricter. The answer is that it's not.
It's not stricter.
So now we have a source for theft or loss for a borrower that he has to pay because we learn it from a paid watchman. So Ashkechan Lechiv, so you found a source for obligations. Leptur Minon, what about the idea that when the owner of the object that he lent is himself working for the borrower, he's exempt. The borrower is then exempt. So the Torah says it explicitly about death or breaking a leg. It says, Imbal of Ein Imo, if the owner's not with him, Shalem Yishalem, he pays. How do we know in regards to Gneva Va'aveda, in regards to theft, that if the owner is working for the borrower and the item is stolen, that the borrower is exempt? If you're going to say, learn it out from the law of a broken leg or a dropping dead, there he's exempt if the owner is working for him, so too he'd be exempt in case of theft if the owner is working for him. I'll tell you, no. Maybe in regards to it dropping dead, it's something out of his control. So therefore, the Torah is easy on him. And the Torah says, well, if the owner's working for you and the whole loss is out of your control, you're completely exempt. But that doesn't tell me about other things, about theft and loss, where it's partially negligence. So the Gemara says, again, Elagamar Mishomer Sachar, we learn it from a paid watchman. Just like a paid watchman is exempt when the owner of the object was working for him, so too a borrower is exempt when the owner of the object is working for him. He's exempt for paying for theft and loss. The Gemara says, "Shomer sachar gufa minolin." Well, where did the Torah ever say that a paid watchman is exempt for theft and loss if the owner of the object is working for him at that time? So the Gemara explains, "Gamri chiyuva de shomer sachar, mi chiyuva de shoel." The whole idea, we learn the obligations of a paid watchman from the obligations of a borrower. Malahalim bebalim pater, the obligations of a borrower, namely in the case of death and a broken leg, the Torah says explicitly, he only pays when the owner's not with him. So afkan bebalim pater, so too in these obligations, namely the obligations of theft, if the owner was with him, he's exempt. B'mai gamar, how did you learn the obligations of a paid watchman from the obligations of a borrower? If it's just a comparison, say, well, the borrower we know gets exempted if the owner's with him, so therefore the paid watchman should get exempted if the owner's with him. We can tell you the following question, which you just said. Shekein ones. Maybe the borrower gets exempted when the owner's with him, because really it's not so likely to obligate the borrower. Because the borrower, if it dies, it's something out of his control. So therefore the Torah, since it's not so likely to obligate him, forgives it when the owner is with him. But how do we know the same thing in regards to a paid watchman? Hello, Amar Kra, the fact it's a pasuk. There are three sections in the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim. Section number one, we're saying, talks about an unpaid watchman. Section number two, a paid watchman. Section number three is explicitly about a borrower, v'chi yishal. So the pasuk says there, v'chi yishal, vav mosif alinyan rishon, and if he will borrow. It says a vav. That's to connect it to the earlier cases. V'yomad el yom mitachton, to say that that which is before, namely case number two, the paid watchman is derived from number three, from the borrower. So just like borrower is exempt if the owner is with him, so too paid watchman is exempt if the owner is with him.
The renter
has the same status as a paid watchman. So yeah, he'll also be the same. So now the Gemara asks, Vakati. And now, Shoel Mishomer Sachar Logamar. We can't derive the other way. We can't derive and say, well, if we can't derive a borrower from a paid watchman. To say, since a paid watchman is exempt if the owner is with him from theft, so too a borrower, if the owner is with him, is exempt from theft. I can tell you the following. Maybe the Torah is lenient with a paid watchman, because the Torah is lenient with him, it says he doesn't need to pay if it drops dead. So therefore, since it was lenient with him, if it drops dead, he doesn't have to pay at all. So too, if there was theft, normally he has to pay. If there's theft with the owner with him, he's exempt. But Tomer B'Shoel, how could you say that in regards to a borrower, that he should be exempt if there was theft while the owner was with him? Shechai B'Shvuro Mesa, borrower, the Torah is stricter. The Torah says he has to pay if it drops dead. So maybe he has to pay also, even if the owner was with him, in the case of theft. So therefore, Ella the Gemara says, Gneva va'aveda b'shoel l'chiyuva minalan. How do we know that a borrower has to pay for theft and loss to govern mishomer sachar? We said we learned it out from a paid watchman. He said a paid watchman has to pay for theft and loss. Certainly a borrower has to pay for theft and loss. So it's a kavachomer. So once it's a kavachomer, we have a rule. Dayo lava min adin lios kenidon. You can only learn in a kavachomer like the source. So Magneva Vaveda, just like we said that in the source, namely the case of a paid watchman, the Shomer Sachar Bebailim Pater, if the paid watchman had the owner of the object working for him, then he's exempt for theft and loss because of the word, the letter Vav, bringing the concept of the worker, the owner with him back to Shomer Sachar. So Afkneva Vaveda de Shoel Nami. So too, when there's theft and loss of a borrower, Bebailim Pater, if the owner is working for the borrower at that time, the borrower is exempt. So Gemara says, Hanicha, that's fine, Lamanda Islay Dayo, if you believe in that law, that whenever you derive something from somewhere else, you can only bring it over like it is over there. El Lamanda Leslay Dayo, but the one who doesn't believe in that rule, Michael Amim, what are you going to say? El Amar Cross, you have to say like this, the Pasuk says, V'chi yishal, as we just said, and if he will borrow, vav mosif al inyan rishon, the vav connects the case of borrowing to what was before it, which is the case of a paid watchman. So we said we learned paid watchman from borrowing, that just like borrowing has the concept of the owner with him, paid watchman has the concept of owner with him. But now we have to learn the other way too. V'yilmat el yom mitachton, you learn paid watchman from borrower, but you also learn v'tachton me'elyon, you also learn borrower from paid watchman. So just like paid watchman only has to pay for theft and loss if the owner was not with him, so too borrower has to pay for theft and loss if the owner is not with him. But if the owner is with him, and then it was stolen from him, he doesn't need to pay. Exactly. Next issue, Itmar we learned. Pshia b'bailam. What happens if it's an unpaid watchman, and the unpaid watchman is negligent? So normally when he's negligent, that's the only time he has to pay. But what happens if at the time that he was negligent, the owner of the object was working for him? So pligi bar Ravach of Ravina. Here we have an argument in Ravach and Ravina. Chad Amar Chayev, one said he still has to pay. The Chad Amar Pater, one says he's also exempt, just like a paid watchman and a borrower is exempt if the owner is working for him. The pasuk is only by a borrower. We're trying to take the law of Baal of Imo from borrower and pull it up to paid watchman, and now pull it even further, pull it up to unpaid watchman. So Madam Archayev, the one who says he has to pay Kusavar, he says that the Vav tells you Mikra Nidrus Lefanav, it can take the law of the owner with him, which is said about borrower, and take it to the case right before it, to the case of Shomer Sachar. V'lo Lefnei Fanav, but it can't take it to two sections of front. It can't take it all the way to an unpaid watchman. Hilkach, therefore, in Baal of Imo, Ashomer Chinam Lo Ksiv. This concept that that the owner is with him, working for him, was never said by an unpaid watchman. And in fact, the whole idea that a paid watchman or a borrower is responsible for negligence, it's not even written there. In terms of the fact that a borrower, let's say, is responsible for negligence, that's a kaval chomer from unpaid watchman. We say an unpaid watchman doesn't have to pay for theft. Nevertheless, he has to pay for negligence. So certainly a borrower who has to pay for theft has to pay for negligence. Okay? However, Avul Bebailim, but the idea that if the owner of the object is working for the guard, then the guard is exempt. Avul Bebailim Liftar, after Shomer Sachar, Uveshoelo. We don't have that concept by an unpaid watchman. So we wouldn't have that concept by a paid watchman, and we wouldn't have that concept by a borrower. My time, a why? Kik siv im baal of ima lo yishalim. When did the Torah say if the owner of the object is working for the guard doesn't pay? Ashoel. That's written explicitly in regards to a borrower. Then through the vav, we linked it also to Shomer Sachar. It was also linked to a paid watchman. So it's referring to those obligations that are explicit. Those things that are obligations that are explicit, then you have the rule that baal of ima exempts. But it doesn't apply to Pshia, which was never said explicitly in regards to a paid watchman and a borrower. However, Mandamar Patu, the one who says that even in a case of negligence, if the owner of the object is working for the guard is exempt, because Kasavar healed, Mikra Nidrus Lefanav Lefnei Fanav, that once a pasuk is going back, it goes back to the case in front and two cases in front of it. And therefore, V'chik Sivim Baal of Imo, once the Torah says, that if the owner was with him, the borrower doesn't need to pay. It's referring also to Shomer Chinam Namiksev. It's also referring to two cases before. It's also referring to case number one, to an unpaid watchman. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to try to prove who's right in this argument. Tanami in the Mishnah, Hashoel Apara, if a person borrows a cow, V'shoel Baalei Ima, and he borrowed the owner of the cow to do work for him too. Hashoel Aparo, if he borrowed a cow, V'sachar Baalei Ima, and he hired the owner of the cow to work for him. Shoel Baalei, or he hired the owner, he borrowed the owner, Osachran, or he rented the owner, V'yachakach Shoel Asaparo Mesa. Then he borrowed the cow, and then the cow dropped dead. Pachi doesn't have to pay. So it gives examples of a borrower, and it doesn't give an example of a Shomer Chinam. Ila Shomer Chinam lo katani. It doesn't mention Shomer Chinam. So apparently Shomer Chinam doesn't have the exemption of Baal of Imo. So the Gemara says, Vlita Mech, but according to that logic, Shomer Sachar mi katani. It didn't say a paid watchman has the exemption of the owner working for him. Maybe I'll tell you like this. Tana Milsa Dixiva Behedja Katani. The Tana just listed those things that are explicitly in the Pasuk. Borrower. Dasi Midrasha, that which is derived from a Vav, Shomer Sachar lo katani. Wasn't listed. Tashma coming here. Now the proof, we learned Sha'ala v'sha'a ba'alei ima, if he borrowed the animal plus its owner, Sachar v'sachar ba'alei ima, he hired it and he hired the owner, Sha'ala v'sachar ba'alei ima, Sachar v'sha'a ba'alei ima, Afal pi sha'ba'alei mosa malachim v'makam achar, umesa patra, even though the owner is doing a different work, if the animal drops dead, he's exempt. They figure this is Rabbi Yehudi, damar shomer k'socher k'shomer sachar, that a renter is a paid watchman dummy. And here it says, it's listing renter, it's listing a paid watchman, which is not explicit. But it doesn't say an unpaid watchman. So you see that an unpaid watchman doesn't have the exemption of Baal of Imo. Answer the Gemara, maybe not. Maybe an unpaid watchman also has the exemption of Baal of Imo. Hamani Rabbi Meir, it's Rabbi Meir, Damar Socher, who says a renter, Kishomer Chinam Dani, that a renter is an unpaid watchman. Vatana Shomer Chinam. So once it mentions a renter, it's really mentioning an unpaid watchman. So once it says unpaid watchman, Hu Adin L'Shomer Sachar. Obviously, the same would be true with a paid watchman.
There's no test on it. I got that test on it.